Welcome to It's Too Early Podcast, the podcast for the young workforce in Central Illinois who are up early and building something great. I'm your host, Jack Hart, and every Tuesday and Thursday, I sit down with the next generation of workers, leaders, and creators to talk about how they got started, where they're headed, and what keeps them going. These are real stories from young people who are figuring out and forging their path, because sure, it's too early, but the coffee's on, the mics are hot, and we got stuff to talk about. Let's get started. Hey, welcome in, guys. It's good to see you again on this wonderful Wednesday on the It's Too Early podcast. I got a special guest today. This man I've known for a year and a half now. He's a special guy, very entertaining. I got the luxury of working with him and being around him in the office last summer, and you know, he's a big man. He's not from the United States. He's from the good old England. So I wore my 1966 World Cup kit, which hopefully England gets a World Cup here more recently because it's been a little bit of a while. Also have my Lando Norris British Grand Prix hat to wear along with that. So we're out here with the support in that. So this is Woody right here, David Woodfield's full name. We all call him Woody. So Woody, welcome in.
Thanks, Jack. Good to be here.
It's good to have you as well. So let's start off. You grew up in England. You know, tell me about how you started, what's your upbringing, what was life like as a child in England? Tell me about that.
Well, I quite enjoyed growing up and living in England. I grew up in a town called Plymouth. You might have heard of it. It's where the Pilgrim Fathers left the Mayflower Steps to take the boats over to America, Plymouth Rock.
They got a soccer team there too, right?
Yeah, Plymouth Argo. I played for them when I was younger.
There you go.
I really wanted to be a professional footballer. Football was my life growing up. Wanted to play. Well, you know, for a long, long time, just wanted to play football, nothing else. Just soccer, football, whatever you want to call it.
Both work.
And I dreamed of being a professional footballer. Didn't work out for me in the end.
You still have a chance?
No, I think I've done my bit now. Semi-pro was my level.
There you go.
But I really wanted to be a professional footballer and tried as hard as I could. Didn't quite make it, but kept trying. I think if I skip forward a bit to when I was about 18... I didn't get a contract, so I was sort of playing for these professional teams as a youth player.
Yeah.
Didn't get a contract. Ended up at a team called Plymouth Argyle. Have you heard of them?
Of course, yep.
Yeah.
They're in the championship, is that correct?
They just got relegated from the championship.
Okay, that's why.
But when I was there, they was in the championship, and they were looking for championship players. And I was looking at some of the guys ahead of me, and they were not getting contracts. And I was thinking, how are you not getting a contract? You're so much better than I am. How are you not getting a contract? And they said to me, come and stay another year, go and do a little course that we run, like learning how to manage football businesses or something like that. And I thought, no, that's not for me. I'm not going to make it. I know I'm not going to make it. So I'll stay at school, do my proper subjects like maths and stuff like that. So I sort of gave up on that dream because I knew I wasn't good enough to do it, didn't make it, and sort of started playing semi-pro football, which I absolutely loved.
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, you would love that too.
I probably would. I probably could do it if I wanted to.
If you were in England right now, you'd be playing for a team every single Saturday against other teams in the football pyramid. You'd love it.
Oh, 100%.
I know you would love it.
Yeah.
So that was my life pretty much growing up. Football. Football, football, football. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah. You still want to do it, right?
I love football. I'll never stop. Love football.
Yeah.
What happened was I played locally, loved it, absolutely loved it. Meet some absolute characters. You're at the pub after the game, just living your best life, getting paid as well. You know, not enough to live off it, but just enough to pay for your travel and your beers and stuff like that. So I was loving life. And actually, one of my friends got a soccer scholarship in America.
What school was that?
I forget. It was somewhere in Vermont, I think.
Somewhere. Okay.
But I remember seeing him and thinking, I could do that. If he can do that, I can do that.
Did you ever think about coming over here to the States and
going to school? That's exactly what happened. I was 18, didn't really know what I was doing, just wanted to be a professional footballer.
Yep.
Thought, okay, I'll just keep playing football however I can. End up going to a university in Kentucky, believe it or not.
Really? Okay, I did not know this.
No, I was not ready for it. 18 years old, not ready at all. Didn't know what I was getting into. Got there, arrived, didn't like it.
Wasn't a fan. Why was that?
Different. Just so different. Wasn't ready. You know, sometimes in your life you're ready. Sometimes you are not ready whatsoever. And I was not ready whatsoever. So I played football. It was great. I was probably in the best shape of my life, so I was loving it. But weird thing about American unis as well is you have to do these GEDs, you know, general education requirements.
I did those for like almost 2 years. It was
horrible.
It was ridiculous. Right? And I was like, just a way for them to get more money, I feel like.
I couldn't believe it, what I was getting into. It was all shock, all change, all different. Didn't like it whatsoever. But I did, I was doing maths a lot back in England. And so I was sort of following that path. And then I came across this course or whatever called Programming 101.
That sounds terrible.
And I thought, oh, let's have a look. What's this then? And I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
There you go.
Yeah. So I went, worked through these books. You had to buy these huge books for loads of money.
Hey, now they're on computers, you know. I don't have to carry. I never had to carry around a book.
I had to buy these silly books.
They're so expensive. I had to pay a grand at least each semester for books.
Yeah, I remember it being ridiculous. Worked through this book anyway. Absolutely loved it. Just absolutely loved it and thought, this is what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Is I love playing football, but I really like making stuff on a computer. Really, just the simple terms like that. Anyway, didn't like living in Kentucky in this small town. Doing this thing.
Where in Kentucky Geo School at?
Let me think. It was called Owensboro.
I have no idea where that would be at.
Yeah, I didn't like it. So I left, went back to England, went to my hometown. So I went as far as I could and then went as close as I could. Hometown uni, did a course computing at University of Plymouth. Enjoyed that, like doing the learning side of things like that. And then actually did a year in industry, which is like an internship
for
a whole year. And love that. And I thought, I just want to get out into the world of work and do what I can. And graduated University of Plymouth. I guess I can brag about this a little bit. First in my class, I think you would call
Congrats
it.
Congrats on that.
Top of the class. Got a little
smart guy.
Got a little certificate on my desk still. And then started working, looking for jobs. Found a job at a little company called LRS.
There you go.
In Cheltenham, England. Started working for them, and I suppose I'm getting on a bit now, but then that's the same company that lives here.
It is the same company that's located in Springfield. There you go.
So I turned up, went for it. First time I came here, I went for a little trip to Springfield, and I got stopped at the border, and they said, come into this little room. Took me into this room. And I was like, oh no, I was like, oh God, oh no.
He's like, I'm getting sent back, oh no.
And it was something about, I had a student visa still.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So they were worried I was trying to, I don't know, come in on a student visa or something.
Yeah, you never
like
know.
So, anyway, nothing bad. And then came to visit here at LRS, people at LRS, and now, what, maybe 15 years later, I end up living here.
That's crazy. There you go. Yeah. So did you work for, LRS in Britain for how many years over there?
Let's see, I moved here officially 22, so that was about 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to finally come over and work in Springfield compared to staying over there in Britain?
Yeah, well, there was multiple things to do with time as well. Obviously, COVID had a big hit on any timelines and things like that. So visas, I got denied a visa a couple of times. It was kind of the wrong visa. It was like, it wasn't a surprise, I don't think, in the end. And they were sort of trying to get me through as something different. They tried a certain way, didn't work. And then we tried this sort of H-1B visa. Don't know if you heard of that. It's a lottery.
I have no idea that was a thing, yeah.
So it's a visa where anyone can come over, but it's a lottery. So you just put your name in and
hope for the best.
Yeah. And then there's a permanent residency, which I'm a permanent resident. And that takes a little longer to apply for. I'm going to say 5 years.
Yeah.
It takes about 5 years. And actually what happened in the end, after all that waiting and rejection, is the permanent residency came through. Because you have to go through a lot of things with that just to prove that, you know, I'm not taking someone else's job or, you
know,
any of that sort of stuff. So that takes a long time to prove that. And then it came through, got that, fantastic. And then at the same time, I got H-1B lottery. Come through as well.
Oh man, so just timing, perfect timing.
So two at once. So I had to send one of them back, obviously the H-1B, and that got me over here. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's how it works out. So, good question for you here. So, Great Britain, you know, you got your football and your soccer over here. You know, you transitioned. What's the biggest difference between playing over there versus playing here? You would think.
Well, playing over there is way more organized. We've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so every village has a team, and there were so many teams. There's the football pyramid, where it goes up from real non-league, sort of Sunday league, up to the Premier League, that sort of thing. So way more organized, way more official, way more facilities. And also, culturally, it's just, you know, some of the most important things in your life is football. Right? First time I came to America, I remember thinking, and I didn't enjoy this one bit, because you'd see like the newspaper, or you see the news, or people would just be talking around the table and stuff like that. Why aren't we talking about football? Why are we talking about baseball?
Baseball, or American football, basketball,
Yeah, well, stuff like that. And it was just a shock, because football is the number one sort of cultural thing. And we all get around it, we all embrace it. We love it, we hate it, we put all our effort into it. It's just everything.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's kind of the same thing with the NFL in the United States, but just, you know, if we don't have the NFL or the American football, I feel like soccer could be such a more big sport. I think the World Cup coming here next year is going to help out, and the Club World Cup just ended here, so hopefully. But the United States, their national team has been terrible. And it just it shows.
It makes no sense.
It just shows.
Why? Why are they so bad? They're not bad at anything else. You go to the Olympics, you know, they're brilliant at everything at the Olympics.
With the amount of players that we have, or amount of people in the country, it shocks me. And I think it goes down to your youth stuff, because in your, you had the youth academies, like, we had to pay a bunch of money to play. I always had to pay to play, and then I had to travel. Like me, I had to travel 2 hours for soccer just to go to play for the best teams. I mean, with you saying you had your little towns of good systems and academies and everything, it's just, it's different.
Yeah, football is very much like a working class sport.
Yeah,
in England, you didn't necessarily, there was, you would have to buy things like your boots and things like that, but it wasn't really, had to pay a lot of money to play. You know, and even if we did, people would just take off your jumper, make someone else take off their jumper, make a goalpost.
Yeah.
Now we've got a ball just playing in the street. I grew up on terrace housing, which is all the stacked houses next to each other. We just play in the street.
I love that. Yeah, we didn't have that over here. I mean, we have a couple of high school fields, but a lot of them, they don't open anyone. And I mean, no. I play with my friends who were younger, but not like on the street or anything. It was different.
Plus, you're playing in your school, aren't you?
Yeah,
and
it was
school
all that.
Is massive. Whereas for us, it's not big at all, really. I play club football was way bigger.
Yeah.
And school, no, you know, a couple of mums and dads would come and watch the school games and stuff like that. But, you know, plus we'd have way more schools. So there's way more games, way more game time.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Way more intensity, I think. Rivalry as well.
Definitely. It definitely is. I mean, it's like the schools around here, they weren't that big. So I'm playing a lot of, you know, decently play good players. But when I went to play club and I'm going to Dallas and Vegas and Orlando, that's when you play the real good players.
Yeah.
But you also have to pay a ton of money to do that. I was driving, like I said, I was driving to St. Louis 3 times a week just to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you wouldn't have to do that in England. You'd have way more opportunity. You'd love it. You'd
I know. I need to get over there. I've never been over there before.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I could set you up with my old team.
There we go. Maybe I need to, I'm only 22. I can do podcasting over there. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
Work out.
You could just have a semi-pro career.
I know. I still got it in me. You've seen me play.
Oh, you know, the first time I met you, Jack said, you play, do you? And you said, yeah. And you told me you're a goal scorer. And I said, all right, come on in. Play for my team. Score some goals.
That's what I've been doing.
Fair play, you did. You did score some goals.
Still could score some more, but, you know.
Definitely scored some more.
Oh, well. It happens. It's a smaller goal. Put me 11-11, maybe it'll be different. We'll see.
Yeah, no, you're one of our best players.
Well, I appreciate that. So try to, hopefully, we should have been at championship tomorrow, but you know, or Thursday, but that's how that goes.
We're in the losers' final.
Yeah, we should be in the winners' final. We got cheated out of that system.
Yeah. All right, next year.
That was the best. So to continue on, so you moved here over to Springfield. What was your first, like, impressions of Central Illinois and Springfield? Like, I want to know what a guy who's never been here is like, all right, I'm going to come, because everyone in this area kind of gives it a bad rep for being here, but what was your first impression, really?
I think people say, like, it's boring, there's nothing to do.
Yeah,
like, that's all what time. People say. That's what people warn me. I was not coming in cold, So, like I said, I'd come over for work trips, and so I knew what I was getting. I thought I knew what I was getting into. You never really know what you're getting into until you're here. But I knew people. I had a job to go to, girlfriend as well, and so I was getting. I wasn't like coming in really cold with nothing, which is how I felt when I was 18 and I went to Kentucky. So I'd learned a lot from that, I suppose. And I knew people and I knew the area and stuff like that. But I remember coming in first week of work and just breaking down crying in my manager's office because I'm like, what have I done? Like, what's going on? Like, this is so big. This is so huge. And it's now only starting to sort of impact me. And you speak to my girlfriend as well, who's now my wife.
I was about to say, you just got married,
yeah,
didn't you?
I did, yeah.
You just got back from your honeymoon.
That's true. And she'll say, you know, she'll probably tell you about, like, you know, bad times where I've, you know, big mood swings, things like that, because it's hard.
Definitely.
Moving to a different place is hard. But Springfield, I like it. I think Springfield is easygoing. I think it's convenient. It's not really that much traffic or anything like that. There's nothing. You can drive anywhere. There's big car parks. You can get whatever you want pretty much. It's like convenient, just very convenient. The people are amazing, so friendly, just like yourself.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But everyone's really friendly, really kind. They're really interested. They want to learn about England as well. I get a lot of people asking me a lot of questions.
Oh, I'm always want to know more about that.
Yeah. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I'm glad to give my opinion, and that leads to a lot of debate and conversations about the differences between the two countries and stuff like that. The weather is good, mostly, I'd say.
Depends.
It does depend, right? It gets really cold.
It does.
And having to learn to shovel the driveway is not fun.
I was about to say, you probably didn't get much snow over there at all.
I've never had to shovel the driveway until I came to Springfield. Never had a driveway, to be honest, because the houses in Springfield are a bit bigger
than
they are in the UK.
Yes, a lot more.
You got to ask me this. How are there so many big houses in Springfield?
Because there's so much land. I mean,
but like, who's buying these out? Like, where is this money coming from?
Everywhere. All the businesses. LRS.
LRS, perhaps, yeah. But there's so many nice houses in Springfield.
Yeah, in the lake houses. You see the house on the lake? Wonderful. Yeah. Oh, and some of those like houses, like the lake houses, those are like big guys who've like grew up in Springfield, but they just have a lake house and then they go live somewhere else for their business.
Like their second home.
Exactly.
Just a lake house, yeah. But I would say everyone's really nice in Springfield. I like it.
Good. That's good to hear. Yeah. I've always thought everyone's friendly and welcoming, and it's nice to hear someone from across the world is just like that. If I had to go and vice versa, let's say I'm going to England, what are the people like in England?
Yeah, okay, so different, right? It'd be different. Okay, first of all, you're going to be made fun of.
Of course.
Right? You're American.
American is the thing.
Teased, like, you know, where's your gun? Where's your flag? You know, all that.
all the typical stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff you just see in the news. We just assume everybody's like it.
Well, of course. You look at the news. Yeah, goodness.
You talk funny.
You think so?
Yeah. But you'll be made fun of. But if you're made fun of, that means people like you.
Of course, yeah.
In England, you know, people make fun of you. It means they like you. So I think you would adapt quickly. You'd have to grow up. It's a bit faster paced.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit faster paced. A bit more going on. More things accessible to you, I think, in the local area, that is. As in, you can get around the country quickly.
I was about to say, it's not that far. Not too big of an area as the United States, obviously.
Yeah, I'd love to see you go to a game. And
I want to go so bad. I mean, I grew up I'm a Man City fan. I'd love to go to Manchester, but also want to go to, like, your London, or go down to Bournemouth, or Brighton, or whatever. You know, I just need to get over there. It's one of my goals here soon.
You should. In fact, me being here now, obviously, I've got my family and stuff like that. I'd like to go to England, but I mean, one of the things, I just want to go back and watch a game, really.
Oh, yeah. I see it all on TV, and I was just like, this looks amazing.
And it'll be quite different. So the Premier League's coming here in Chicago, right? It's coming to Chicago in August, I think.
I think so, one of those.
It's like a summer series, they call it. And I thought about it. I thought, oh, that would be cool. But then you get that atmosphere, which is friendly, right? Yeah. Springfield, right? Friendly, which is great. It's great, you know, you hang around with people, really friendly. But in England, you got that rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
You got that competition, that competitiveness. And although that can come across as mean, maybe, nasty at times, it's energetic and it means something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you get involved. You see it when we're playing football. We don't just turn up and just say, oh, yeah, how are you? You know, good. You're playing well, aren't you? Good game, you.
Yeah, we're never like that. No. I never have been like that. No way.
It gets a bit spicy, doesn't it? And people are talking to each other, but it makes it fun too. And it builds character.
Oh, yeah.
I think you would enjoy it. People would try and wind you up until you snap.
Of course. Right? Especially the American over there.
Yeah. Can we get him to bite? Can we get the American to bite?
Oh, man. If you go send me to a Manchester City game with a bunch of United fans, probably would get me too.
Oh, do not do that.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
I've heard bad things about doing that.
You don't want to mix, right? It's they're not America. You don't have the fans mixing. I've seen in the Club World Cup, they've got like the Chelsea fans next to the PSG fans.
Yep, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, that's not real life. That's not real life. That's not.
So if I'm a Man City fan, I go walk into a bunch of United fans, I'm toast, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you're asking for it.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'll keep that in mind when I go over
Don't
there.
Don't do that.
All right. I won't do that. Keep that in mind when I go watch my first Man City game.
You should watch a film called Green Street.
Okay, Green Street. Producer, remember that.
Yeah. It's about an American who comes over to England, and he gets in touch with the West Ham fans, I think it is.
Okay.
And, I won't spoil it. But
sounds entertaining is what it sounds like to me.
I mean, that's not everyone's experience, right? But you'll get an insight.
All right, I'll definitely take that to mind. But no, you're right about the difference, because I've never wanted. I could go on a Manchester City game with the Club World Cup, but I'm always like, the first game I want to go to watching a European soccer team, I want to be in Europe, because I want to be the. I don't want to go and say, oh, okay, this is what it's kind of be boring. I want to go to the real stuff over there.
Yeah, you go to America, and obviously there's not all American games. Obviously, like. Some of the MLS teams and stuff got great support.
St. Louis has really good support. Have you been down there for a game yet?
No. It looks good, though.
Everyone's standing the entire time yelling. It's fun.
Yeah. So that would be better
than
going to watch one of them friendlies where people are wooing and
there's no fan sections.
The Mexican wave and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad times. You want to be deep in there singing your heart out.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's what I went to St. Louis MLS and I sit in the supporters a lot of times and steep in it the entire time. Yeah. Love it.
In fact, there was a great song. The USA team had a great chant. I can't think of it now. It's such a good chant they had, though.
We have a bunch of chants I couldn't think of top of my head.
I remember being in Springfield during one of the World Cups. I was visiting. It was one of the World Cups. USA did really well. I think it was like Brian McBride was scoring goals. Remember him?
No, it's probably too young for me.
Yeah, it was. Well, for the World Cups next year, must have been eight years ago. Could have been 12. Could have been 12 years ago. I was downtown Springfield in a bar. I think I had my face painted.
Was it 2018 World Cup? That would be 8 years. Or then it could be 2014 also. I remember the 2014. I remember both of them.
But USA did pretty well.
We didn't make the 2018 World Cup.
Okay. 2014 then?
That had to be 14 then, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was downtown Springfield, just the Alamo, I think, was jumping.
That's soccer bar down there, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Great. Enjoyed that. I can't remember who they got knocked out to, but...
They lost to Belgium. Remember that? I think Tim Howard set like the record for most saves, and I think Kevin De Bruyne scored and Lukaku scored or something.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling of losing.
I was about to say, let me ask you about how we think of this England squad. You guys always have so much talent.
Mm.
Why can you guys not just get that last game or last, you know, you lose semifinals, you lost Euros, championship, you name it.
Yeah. Well, our expectation is we win everything.
Of course.
So that's the standard. That's the expectation.
Well, when you say the best league in the world called the Premier League, you know, you got to say you should be expecting to win it every time.
Yeah, to be fair, there may not be that many Englishmen playing.
That also true.
All the time in the Premier League. But the expectation as a country is we got to win it or we failed.
Yeah.
Which is harsh. Right. Yeah, that is so harsh. Right, I suppose that's true in America in a way, like with the NBA and the Olympics and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, if we lost the NBA, it'd be embarrassing.
Yeah, but we've been trying to win for, what are we at now, 50 years?
1966.
60 years.
Yeah. This is the last kit, by the way. Last time they won it. I think it's just a patch on the shirt.
Yeah, very famous kit that.
I know. Yeah. I got this for Christmas 3 years ago. One of my favorite kits I have.
Yeah. We came pretty close to winning Euros a few years ago. Devastated, lost to the Italians.
Harry Kane, is that when he skied that PK?
Might have been.
I think it was.
Penalty Saka, I think, missed.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys have missed some PKs and shots and who knows. Found a different way to lose.
It's hard. I've cried my eyes out so many times. Can you say that about watching USA team?
I don't expect the USA to be good. Yeah. That's why. You know?
Yeah. Whereas I've cheered, I've celebrated, I've screamed just with absolute delight seeing your national team winning games.
Oh, yeah.
We're lucky, to be fair, to make the finals of the Euros and the finals of the World Cup is pretty incredible, but to then lose both of them is...
That stinks.
Yeah.
Hey, we got World Cup coming up next year.
I mean, the odds, though, the chances of England making the final again would be amazing, right?
Yeah,
but the chance, I mean, we're getting a bit greedy, almost.
Well, you got a new coach now. Got Tuchel in there.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Yeah, very interesting. I'm behind him. I want them to do well. When he first got appointed, we have a interesting relationship with Germany.
Yeah.
Right. And huge rivalry with Germany. And then now we've got a German in charge of the national team, which... It's like, I'm behind him. I'm behind him. We really need England to do well and win. But
I mean, we got Pochettino in charge of the United States now. So
I was watching a video yesterday. David Beckham scored a penalty against Argentina in one of the World Cups. Pochettino was playing. I think he gave away the penalty, and he's got long hair all the way down to his shoulders.
That's kind of crazy. I gotta look that up now.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Pochettino when he was playing, but.
No, I think he's the defender. Definitely played for Argentina. I don't know who else he played for.
I don't know either. That's funny, though. That's crazy. He'd be like that.
Yeah, it is crazy.
He might do something tonight in the States team. We'll see.
Well, he's a good manager. He plays a great system, and he normally gets the best out of his players.
That's true.
But who's going to be the... When it, interesting game football, right, is that when it gets down to it, it's about the players on the pitch who can take the lead and score the goals.
That's true. We don't have a striker very well, a very good striker.
Not at the moment.
Christian Pulisic is our best player, and he's a good winger, but, you know, he's not a guy who's... We don't have a guy who just, like a Harry Kane, who's just going to always score.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. It's hard. But you're right. The I watched a couple of games in the Gold Cup. Was it Gold Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looked good. Great shape. Some of the wingers out there getting the ball in and stuff like that.
Those are all of our B players too. I mean, we're missing a bunch of players.
They look good though, but then you realized so open as well.
Did you watch the Mexico game they played against?
I watched the goals on that one, I think.
We got manhandled by Mexico.
And I was thinking, who's playing for Mexico? Who are the good players for Mexico? They got the two from the Premier League who scored the goals.
Yeah, they got both. What's his face? The guy plays at Fulham, and the other one plays at West Ham, and I can't think of their names off the top of my head.
Alvarez and Raul, is it?
It's an Alvarez. That's one of them. He plays at West Ham. And then it's Raul Jimenez.
Yeah.
Yep. They're both. Otherwise, they got solid players, but they made us kind of look bad. But
yeah, I kind of bullied them a little bit, didn't they?
But who knows? We've beat them so many times, our top players, we'll see. Never know.
Yeah, when you start boasting about beating Mexico.
We'll take it. We'll take it. We get easy competition over here in CONCACAF. Yeah, we have Mexico, and sometimes Canada's good.
I would love it if USA was to draw England again.
That was fun.
USA played better than England in that game.
We tied you guys in that game.
Was it 1-1?
Yeah, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
I think it's the game Pulisic got injured and he had to like leave or something. Or maybe that was against Iran. I can't remember.
Yeah, I remember watching that. I was in Buffalo Wild Wings.
There you go.
Watching that one.
Rooting for England.
I was, yeah. I'm England top on. Yeah, fun times that. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed in England that day.
Yeah. Fair play to USA. I was very proud American that day, let's say that.
Yeah. But as you know, playing well and, you know, trying your best is good. But then you got to have that little bit of bite, I think.
Definitely.
To get you over the line. That's what I think America's missing.
I agree. I think it is. And I don't know if it'll come or not, but we'll find out. So we're about halfway through the podcast, and this is my favorite segment, Woody. It's the called Think Fast. Mm. Three questions segment. I'm going to give you three random questions, and we'll see if you know some answers here. You ready for these?
I'm ready.
The first one, I hopefully know you'll get this. What's the only country that has played in every single FIFA World Cup since it began in 1930?
I got a couple in my head. I'm going to go with Uruguay.
Nope.
Brazil.
Yep, that's it. Uruguay, is they won one of the first ones.
Yeah, they first did. One. It was either Uruguay or Brazil.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, it was Brazil. Since 1930. When did England not make the World Cup? I know that didn't happen.
1994.
What was the reasoning for that? Just really bad team? Do you know?
I don't know. I was probably like six.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Who knows? Good thing you didn't remember that.
I do remember my first game, though, and I remember watching my first game. I think it was in 1994. Manchester United versus Chelsea, FA Cup final. That's the other thing about England, is that those games will be broadcast on sort of main TV.
Yeah.
I don't even know what main TV is in America.
Streaming now, I guess. I don't know. ESPN?
When you were younger and you turned on the TV,
yeah,
just with the on button and the thing started playing, what channel was it? Cable?
It was cable. And it was like your ESPN, ABC, CBS. I think, that's mostly. I mean, there's only probably 100 channels.
Well, we had five.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had 100 channels.
BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5.
When would they play the soccer games? Were those on BBC?
So, yeah, so it would be a big deal. FA Cup final would be a big deal.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the FA Cup final on there.
Yeah, and so that's the first game I ever watched.
That's crazy. I mean, I can watch nowadays. You can watch any game you want.
That's true.
Which I love, because I'll put my Champions League on and my Paramount, or watch Peacock and watch the Prem.
Yeah, some of the broadcasting, that Champions League show is great.
Oh, I love that. With Micah Richards, is my favorite ever.
Thierry Henry, Jamie. Yeah, so good.
I'll watch the game. I'll sit and watch the post-game show the entire time because I'm so entertained. And I remember Micah Richards playing for Man City, so I'm always like, all right. Yeah. Well, he was never the greatest player, but he's hilarious for sure.
Who was your favorite?
My favorite always is Vincent Kompany. I always loved Vincent.
What about that goal he scored, right, against Chelsea?
Oh, that was so nice.
When he's just edging forward, and he's like, you're like, go on then.
Try it. Go for it.
And he just absolutely smashed it in the top corner.
So nice. There's a video, and there's some guy walking out of the stadium while he's shooting it.
Yeah.
I was like, that poor guy just missed one of the best goals I've ever seen.
What a moment that was.
Oh,
that was basically, I don't think it was exactly to win the league, but it was.
It was close.
Yeah.
But it was such a nice goal. I mean, nothing beats, my other two moments I love is the Aguero moment, obviously.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And then when Gundogan scored and we were down 2-3 against Villa in 2021. We were down 2-0.
Last game of the season.
Yeah, last game of the season. And we had to, because Liverpool won, and we had to go and score three goals. And I think it was Rodri, De Bruyne, and then Gundogan for the last one. It was.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the TV.
I was too, actually. I enjoyed that.
I was so mad. When Coutinho scored on us too, and it was because Liverpool guys, like, oh.
Have you seen that Vincent Kompany the documentary when he was at Burnley?
Oh, I have not yet.
That's on Peacock, I think.
I'll have to watch it.
It's pretty good. He's obviously the manager.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a good watch.
He's doing pretty well, Bayern.
Yeah, he's doing great. Moving from Burnley.
I mean, when you're going from Burnley's players to Bayern's players, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah. Now, he looks very demanding, like gets the best out of his players. Bet there's going to be some burnout there, though, at some point.
I wouldn't mind him coming over to Man City with Pep leaving.
Could do. Will Pep leave?
I don't know. He always says he's going to. I wouldn't mind if he stays until he's dead. You know, that's my point. He's bought me plenty of success. All right, on to question two here. We're going to go back to looking at your United States facts here. So which U.S. state is known for the land of 10,000 lakes?
USA geography. Well, there's a lot of lakes near here.
Yep.
So, Lake Michigan.
That's one of the lakes up there, yeah.
Well, but they're like the Great Lakes, aren't they?
Those are the Great Lakes. Think of a state that has 10,000 lakes. It's not Illinois, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'm often thinking about states that have 10,000 lakes. Can I have a clue?
Yeah, it's close to the Great Lakes. Because of the glaciers, it's why it has 10,000 lakes.
So it's got to be up.
It's up there, yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know much about the states, I've got to be honest. Wisconsin is up there.
It's not Wisconsin. It's close.
Michigan?
Close, still. Go, instead of going east, go west. Touches Wisconsin.
Detroit?
No, Detroit's a city. Detroit City in Michigan. Close, though.
I'm trying to picture the map in my head. What's up there? I don't know what's up there.
Right, you got Wisconsin here, and then it's right to the left of Wisconsin. The Vikings play there in football.
Milwaukee?
American football. Nope, that's Wisconsin.
Vikings.
Let me see another. Let me think of another clue. The Timberwolves are the basketball team in that state.
Don't know much about
it's really cold state. It touches Lake Superior.
Should I know this?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Is that guy who was going to be potentially vice president, was he from there?
Yes, yes he was.
Yeah, where was that?
Tim Walz is from, he's the governor of that state.
Yeah, he was the governor, yeah. Tim Walz, yeah.
Yep, lunatic, but, you know.
What is that state? It gets pretty cold there, doesn't it? And
yeah,
snowy.
Very cold.
Can't think. Go on.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
There you go. Hmm. Yep. So now I know you guys, 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. Tim Walz is the governor.
It's a lot of lakes.
The American football team's the Vikings. They play in Minneapolis and the Timberwolves. See, now you know more about Minnesota.
They got a soccer team?
Yeah, the Minnesota are, Minnesota, I'm trying to think, Minnesota United. They have the Targets from there, so they have like the Target on there. They're actually really nice kids.
Target's from there, is it?
Yep.
Don't mind a bit of Target.
I do like Target, except for if you probably, your wife probably likes Target.
I like Target. This is from Target.
That's a good deal. This is not from Target.
Do you remember American penalties? I don't know if you would have called them American penalties.
Or the goalie's running out and you're going at it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Start from like the halfway line.
I love it. I still wish they'd bring that back.
I gotta know who came up with that.
I don't know, but I wish they'd bring it back. It's so entertaining.
So I used to watch that on TV. I must have been just a little boy watching it on TV. And me and my brother used to play American. We just go, let's play American penalties.
I love it.
So that was the thing I was doing as a kid in England.
American penalties,
yeah.
I mean, I wish they would bring those back because those are so entertaining to watch. I hate PK shootouts, man. If you had a goalie who could run out and do anything, I'm 100% invested.
I have to learn the rules of that because I watch. There's certain clips around the internet you see. I'm like, did that count? Like,
I don't know if the goalie there? Can come out, pass a box. I don't know.
Is it something to do with how wide you can go?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a certain why. Because like, I feel like I just dribble around the goalie and just place it in or chip it over him real quick. Sounds easy until you got a goalie running at you at 100 miles an hour.
A penalty kick sounds easy, too.
That, too. Someone missed one the other day.
What? Who did?
Me. Remember when I missed one the other day?
I do remember that, actually, yeah.
That was a really bad PK. It's okay. I made up. I scored like two or three goals. I scored three goals after that, so.
Oh, going in. How many goals you got?
9 now, I think. I got 12 last year, but I missed the first two games, last year. So I got to score at least three.
At least three, yeah. That'll do.
That'll do fine. I mean, no one's close to me again with the golden boot, so.
That's true, Jack. That's true.
I'll put it next to my one from last year. They look good. They look good in my room.
We'll have an award ceremony, I think.
Beautiful. Sounds good to me. All right, you ready for your last question here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a geography of the world.
Okay.
What is the smallest country in the world by land area?
Is it going to be something like, I don't know, like the Vatican or something like that?
Yeah, it's correct. It is the Vatican.
Is it?
Yeah, there you go. You know, since you got that right, I'm going to give you another question just because I wrote one down here. So, which American singer is known as the King of Pop?
American singer.
Very famous. He died of drug overdose. If you want to know, at 49, I think.
I want to say Elvis.
Close. He did drive. He was a king of rock. So he got the rock, now he needed the pop.
Oh, the pop.
So a couple years later.
Johnny Cash?
Nope, that's country. King of country.
King of country.
You're getting them all down now.
Give me a clue.
Let's see here. He's in the... Ooh, I got to think about a good clue for this. Thriller. He sings Thriller.
Michael Jackson.
There you go.
Oh, come on.
You should have had that.
Silly.
Yeah, but he's a good one. Classic. I mean, he's not as good as the Beatles over there in England, you know.
No, Michael Jackson's phenomenal.
I do love Michael Jackson.
I actually remember when he died. That was a moment, too.
I think he died before I was born.
Did he? Oh.
I think. I could be wrong.
I was at a house party. And it just came on the news. You know where house party starts to die? Everyone's sort of going home. It's 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And someone turned on the TV. Michael Jackson's died. And we're just watching it come in. Crazy.
It's crazy to remember those type of moments. All right, we'll continue on talking. So, LRS, tell me about the culture at LRS. Why you stuck with LRS for, what, 20 years now?
It'll be 15 years this week.
15 years. Well, congrats on that, by the way.
Thanks, sir.
But why LRS? And, you know, you could have changed careers, changed companies. Why are you staying with LRS?
I think just from the very beginning, when even on the interview that I did in Cheltenham, the manager who hired me, he talked a lot, to be fair, during the interview, which I thought was strange. But he talked a lot, and then he showed me the product, and he said, "What do you think?" And I looked at it, and honestly, I said to him, "I can do better. I can make that better." And so from day one, or not even day one, day minus one, or whatever, I saw opportunity. So opportunity to make it better, make it do better. And
a little challenge.
Yeah, and that has stayed with me for all those 15 years, opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's never, can't do that, can't be brilliant, we don't want to be too good or don't want to do that sort of thing. There's always been opportunity to do something brilliant. So that's kept me going for 15 years.
I love it. I mean, it's kind of just like your soccer thing. Same thing. Same, you're like, oh, there's an opportunity. I can keep getting better and better.
Absolutely. There's growth in that, right? You're growing, you're learning, getting your feedback. You're, you know, trying to do better than you did before. And don't really look that far. Well, I certainly don't look that far forward. Just like in football, you look to your next game, pretty much. The next game is the most important one, and then the next one, and so on and so on. So working-wise, trying to do something, right? Build something, make something, just something tangible you can see, look at, feel, and then say, right, now let's make it better. Well, and just keep repeating over and over and over again. Iterating, I think that's cool. Other than that, so that's more of a me thing, I think, coming from sports background and stuff like that. In some ways, I wish work was a little bit more like that. There were more people like that, if you see what I mean. Like more.
No, I get what you're saying, yeah.
More people who are used to that sort of high performance, winning mentality, stuff like that. Because it'd be weird if you had a football team and you had people who just kind of turned up, did their thing, weren't really that interested in the bigger picture or what, you know, the win or whatever. They just thought, well, I did my 90 minutes. Right, I'll go home now.
Yeah, that's just, I could never think that
it'd
way.
It'd be really weird.
I know, I could never think that way. No way.
It'd just be really weird. It'd be like, oh, I did, you know.
If I lose, I am so mad. I'm so ticked off always. Always am.
Yeah, so there's more to it, right? You're more involved. You know, there's build up, there's prep, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But LRS is a great company. It's, as a whole, they look after you, they try to look after you.
No, I agree.
It's changing all the time as well. I think there's been some like bits where it stayed the same, but recently it's changing a lot for the better. And there's a bit more pressure on people, I think, to sort of be a bit more transparent and stuff like that. And for people like me, that's great.
It's another little challenge.
Give me a chance to show how good I am.
I love it.
Ready? Let's go.
Yeah. Might as well.
So that's always been there at LRS. Always had that opportunity. I think I've met some people who have come and gone and stayed and stuff like that, where they're waiting for someone to say, right, now go be brilliant. Right, go be brilliant. And, of course, nobody says that.
No one says that, right?
No one says, all right, go be brilliant. I might say that to you on the soccer pitch.
Well, you just say it on the soccer pitch, but, you know. Sometimes I'm listening, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm shouting at you. Jack!
Jack, what are you doing? You're standing up there. Oh, my bad.
You're better than that. Anyway, no one says to go be brilliant at work, right? They don't really say that. But if you know what I've seen at LRS is no one says, well, stop that. No one says stop that now, right?
Yeah.
Bad enough of that. So just keep going, basically.
They met on the soccer field, though.
Yeah, perhaps. I know myself to stop that. I sub on for Jack when he gets tired or gets injured, right?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't get... Duke got mad at me because I had blood on my leg on Thursday. But I had it on there the entire game until I scored the last goal.
Yeah.
It's because I did some celebration that he saw that I had blood on my leg. It was my fault.
Yeah. People were talking about that celebration, I think.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Yeah, they didn't like it. So I got to come on for a few minutes. I twisted my ankle, pulled a groin as well. So I got to take it steady. But anyway, going back to that, I do love working at LRS. And I think the main reason that keeps me motivated is opportunity.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. So with LRS, you know, you guys, it's a great company culture. For all you guys don't know, I entered there last summer. It's why I know Woody. Mm-hmm. I thought it was wonderful. I use a lot of stuff that LRS does with my own business now today. You come from a soccer background with teamwork, team effort. How much teamwork goes into your work at LRS? How much does your team matter?
Yeah, I would love to say loads, but it's not like that, right? You can't take that translation from football to work.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it did, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Very transparent, very open. But no, it's much more than that. People have been there for 35, 40 years, stuff like that. Some people are just starting out as well. So there are definitely teamwork parts to it. But in the end, what I'm doing, which is software development, it involves you sitting down at a computer and working on your own.
Yeah.
And being a team player is important and absolutely necessary. And you are part of a team, but then you are responsible for your individual bit on your own. So I guess the analogy to football would be at some point you just got to dribble past the whole team and score.
Hey, yeah. Sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah. And it's hard, and software development's hard as well. Yeah.
I mean, both ways. You can't always be messy and dribble past everyone.
That's true. But when I think about the teamwork side of things, it's so important to be a team player and work together with the guys and girls and be able to communicate, really. Communicate. I think there's this idea that software developers maybe are geeks or nerds.
It's kind of what people say, but, you know, I mean, obviously I know a lot of you guys now. I wouldn't say that technically. Thank you.
There are some people who are maybe fit that description, but most people I've met are just normal people.
Yeah, no, I agree. Same thing.
And you can't really survive. It's like you can't survive just talking to nobody, sat in a corner doing nothing. I mean, it just doesn't work.
No, you got to have your little coffee breaks where you're sitting there and chatting to me for 30 minutes in the morning, you know?
That's true. That is true. I do miss that, see, Jack. I used to come into work and see you. And you're always so lively as well.
I'm barely awake, but I got my cat. Once my caffeine's in, I'm good to go.
There were a time, I do remember actually sometimes I'll be like, what's wrong with you then?
It's probably after a Thursday soccer game I'd come in there.
Yeah.
Sore.
Yeah. Nice little debrief. You've been not replaced, but there's a new year of interns.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many years has it been? 2 years? 3 years since you were there?
2 years.
2 years. So yep. I had two rounds of interns. None like you, Jack.
Well, I appreciate that. No, none that are going to sit there and chat with you forever.
No, they're all, you know, smarter, funnier, friendlier, better looking, you know.
Darn. Bummer. That's why I've been podcasting now.
Yep.
They put the ugly guys on podcasts.
No, I'm sure they're very jealous of you right now. I'm sure many people are jealous.
It's a fun job I got now. You know, I don't sit here and complain. I have a lot of leeway and can do a lot of my own doing everything my way. So it's kind of fun.
Yep. I'm sure there's plenty of people that would love to be either sat where you are or sat where I am.
Nothing bad. No. I mean, I'm sitting here doing a podcast on an afternoon on a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, fair play.
I could be going through spreadsheets.
Could do. I mean, you've prized me away from doing what I love.
I'm about obviously. To say, you get a little break today, though.
Yeah, I got a little break, but my mind's going. As soon as I finish here, I'll be back to work, and then, you know, I've been thinking all that time that I've not been working, I've got to get back at it, and that's the attitude, right? That's like,
of course,
that's
yeah.
come, I think that probably comes from sports, right? Yeah. Football, stuff like that. Desire, wanting to win. Same. Yeah. That translates.
It translates, 100%. I totally agree.
Yeah.
A lot of those competitive people who are so competitive in their sports are still competitive in the workforce.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna show up to a Thursday night soccer game still and not play my hardest out there, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And it's same at work, right?
Same at work, same thing.
You kind of, in a way, during that game, you want to be the best player.
100%.
You want to score the goals.
If I don't score the most goals, I'm ticked off, no matter what.
Absolutely. So a lot of prep goes into that, a lot of mental prep as well. And also while you're out there, you got to have a lot of vulnerability to show how much it means to you.
Exactly.
And show how much you care.
That's why, you know, getting a game-winning goal and doing a celebration, it means mm-hmm. a lot more to me. I don't care what anyone says.
Absolutely. I'm all for it as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, go harder.
Right in front of Will's face where he gets mad at me. That's what I like.
Yep. Don't mind that at all.
Not at all.
Don't mind that.
Yeah, he had an injury last game. Such an injury. He just didn't want to play us. I got it.
I said that to him. I said, there's a rumor going around. You're faking an injury.
That's what I heard. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, all right. It's like we usually play him every week for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I expect we'll come up against him soon. And he might get his own back, but
we'll see. You never know. Well, continue here. So, you know, last couple questions I got for you. So, Central Illinois, you know, you've been here for several years now. You got a young son growing up here. He's going to be a professional soccer player, obviously, at some point, right?
Probably be like baseball or
American football. He's going to be an American football player.
Yeah. I don't know if we've got family genes for that.
Is he not tall enough?
Big enough, tall enough, yeah. That's one of the things with American sports, you got to be big, tall.
Yeah. Basketball players, football players, goodness.
Yeah. He's kind of unlucky, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 6 foot, but that's perfect for soccer.
There's a lot of big, tall people here.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
A lot. I'll play some center backs now. They're like 6'6", 6'7", these massive guys.
But luckily for us in soccer, football, see, like how American I am. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, right?
Very true. Yep.
So, you know, you can dribble around them, put the ball through their legs, stuff like that. So being tall and big in football is not necessarily a good thing.
It helps you in the air maybe, but, you know.
Yeah. Overall, it's probably better. But if you're small, then no problem, right?
You can move faster and a lot more versatile, I think, you know. Me as a striker, I could do a lot of sneaking behind them or
absolutely.
Get the ball on the ground, get a shot around them, because they don't move as fast.
Absolutely, and even with it being such a team sport, you need that kind of variety as well. Oh, often definitely. Used to play like a tall guy with a short guy, you know, as an old-fashioned center forwards, that was. But you need that. You need that difference, come off the bench, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you come off the bench, you know, usually you raise the standard and level up here. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting my water break in.
Absolutely. Super sub.
Super sub, for sure. I don't know if you had a goal last game, but just you blew the whistle before you could shoot it.
Yeah, that's true. Don't worry. I'll get a few goals.
I'd like to see you get one this week, I think.
I think I got three, and I've definitely scored a penalty.
I have two. I just missed the last one. I did it on purpose. I couldn't have too many goals, you know. I had to give a chance. That, who knows. But so Central Illinois, you know, your son's going to be growing up this area. What's something you have for, you know, younger people, you know, head into college, head into the workforce? What's some advice you have for someone who's, you know, brand new, hopping into it, you know, my age type?
Mm. Well, do something you love, right?
Of course.
Right. What is it you love? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you were like me, you didn't know. But I was willing to try. So you got to have some vulnerability, which is to put yourself out there. I mean, that's really important. I mean, I feel right now at this point in my life, I'm sort of doing okay, like just about doing okay. But there'd be many times where I've not been doing okay, and I have definitely put myself out there to try things.
Yeah.
Right, and fail, absolutely fail. Be willing to fail. Be willing to grow.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Learn. So that takes vulnerability. Keep relating this back to football always because it's easy, but if you turn up to football and you just stand there and do nothing, then you can kind of get away with it, right? You can kind of get away with it.
Yeah, you can hide away a little bit, yeah.
But if you turn up to football and you work hard and you put yourself out there, there's a chance people will look at that from the sidelines and laugh at you, right? They will laugh at you.
Oh, yeah.
Look at him trying. Look at him putting the effort in, you know. And so that takes a lot of vulnerability to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So I would say jump right in. Absolutely do that. Fail 1,000 times. Jump right in. Learn from it. What can you do differently? What can you do better? Find the thing that you really enjoy doing and you would do if you weren't doing it as a job.
Yeah.
Like, what would I do if I wasn't doing this? Or what I'd do exactly what I'm doing now. Right? That's what. And I was lucky enough to do my year in industry while I was at university and say, this is what I want to do. So now I can go looking for those types of jobs. That's what I wanted to do. I had to move away from home to do that.
Yeah.
Right. I moved away. I came back. I moved away. I came back. And that's hard too.
Of course. Right? Oh, yeah.
Putting yourself out there. And because of that, I might be slightly harsh on people when it comes to that, because how hard have you tried, for example? Well, okay, have you tried this, have you tried that? You know, that's where you got to go, I think, to push it, right?
Oh, definitely.
How much do you want it, right? How much do you want it?
That's what I said right there. Yeah,
what have you done, what have you tried? And maybe it's nothing at all, right? Maybe. And that's harsh, right? I'm being harsh. I can be harsh on people when it comes to that. But I've done that. I've put myself out there,
yeah,
and pushed. And I would say, you know, it's a risk, but also a huge reward.
Always.
For that too.
Yeah, and you say, I mean, risk versus reward. I mean, you said that the soccer thing is, you know, people are going to be up there saying you're scoring a bunch of goals, doing your hardest no matter what. People are going to hate on it sometimes. You're going to be jealous of it sometimes, but you know, it's better than standing there not being known by anyone, you know? You're putting the best thing in, putting in your most effort in life, I think it's most important there.
Yeah, to add to that, I should say being a team player, right? I mean, if there's one thing we've talked about this afternoon, it's been soccer, right? Football.
Oh, yeah.
And all of those things are all possible while also being a team player.
100%.
Which is just, you know, letting each other speak, for example, hearing someone out, checking in on someone, you know, setting someone up when they're in a better position than you are,
yep,
enjoying that moment, winning as a team. How good does that feel?
Always.
To win as a team. How boring would it be if you're on your own?
Oh, it'd be terrible. That's why I don't play golf or tennis or something. I love the team aspect.
That team aspect is phenomenal. You know, winning as a team. Losing as well, you learn a lot. And
oh, yeah.
And you come back as well, don't you? You come back from it. That's so much fun. Going in, like, we've had games in our team where it's like, definitely not going to win this match. Definitely not. They are too good. That happened a few weeks ago, I think, when we won 5-4.
Yeah, we beat the best team.
That's that really good team. Had some great players, but we were determined that day.
We all came to play that day.
All in sync. How much fun was that?
Oh, it was a blast.
You're the underdog. You're not expected to win. It's difficult, but you're all pulling together as a team and everybody counts. And someone has to score the goals, obviously.
Sometimes.
But everybody counts. And so being a team player, I think, is really important. And at work, when that comes to being a team player, it means being someone that can be trusted as well. You got to trust someone. And also someone that goes extra. I mean, no one's ever needed to tell me to go extra. Right, it's like, imagine turning up to football and being like, Jack, kind of gonna need you to actually try. Gonna need you to try today. If that's all right. No, the best players are also the hardest workers.
No, I totally agree. I think hard work beats talent every time.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Exactly.
I think that's written in the Manchester City.
It is.
Hallway. Is that right?
It is. It's one of my I was never, you know, I'm never the techie guy, but I'm always just trying to get to the ball or trying to get to the 50-50 ball or whatever, because I'm going to be the hardest worker out there no matter what.
Yeah, that 50-50 one is I mean, this is a little bit cringe in a way, but like, you got a 50-50 ball, and what are you going to do, right? You can, it's just to say, A, walk to it, right? B, jog to it. C, sprint to it. Or D, run faster than you've ever run in your life.
100%, yep.
Right, that, and that's, you know, opportunity. These are options which are there, yep. And you can choose them, and you can make that choice for yourself. So if I had any advice, it would be there, like, be aware there are options, there are possibilities and different things you can do. They're out there. Open your eyes, go for it, put yourself out there, be vulnerable.
Oh, very well said, and I totally agree with that. You know, it's the same with life, rolling for 50-50. You always have a 50-50 chance, but you got to run as fast and put as much effort as you can going towards that ball. Mm-hmm. Same with, you know, your goals in life. So
I actually heard a great quote from an American, I think it's NFL player, once. And actually, just for a little cultural thing, in England, obviously we see a lot of TV, American TV.
Oh, I bet, right? Yeah.
So all the personalities, the quotes, things like that. Every so often, someone would just start talking in an American accent.
I love it.
Yeah. Just dropping him in like that. Dog. Yo, dog. Or whatever, bro.
Sometimes we use a British accent.
Bruh.
Bruh. That's a good one.
So this quote, I remember this. We used to say this in my team preseason. And it was, all men are created equal. Some work harder in preseason.
It's a good one right there.
Means a lot once you sort of understand that. That means a lot.
It definitely does. I love that. Love it, love it. Well, Woody, it was wonderful having you on the podcast today. You know, if you need to know anything about England or football or soccer, whatever, you ask this man. Mm-hmm. Need anything to know with LRS, he'll be around. But we appreciate you coming to the podcast today, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, we'll be seeing you again. I'll interview you again in a couple months. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it's going. I'm actually got some interesting things coming up. I'm going to start doing a little bit of coaching.
You told me that.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure how it's going to work out, but I'm going to ease into it.
You need help. I told you, I did that for 2 years.
I like coaching, but I really like coaching adults. Less opportunity.
I did high school because I told them I didn't want to do kids. So I did high school sophomores. And a lot of them are trying to get to college. So they'd go out there and work hard, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
But I could never do that. The younger kids are true. They're tough. They're tough.
Tough, yeah. Well, you got to build up that skill.
It takes a long time. It's just simple drills over and repetitive over and over and over.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I'm interested in that kind of winning, what it takes to win.
Of course.
Kind of thing.
Future Pep Guardiola here we come.
So I can't wait for him to retire and then bring out an autobiography.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
Especially with what happened last year.
Yeah.
This guy's with his wife, then he's not with his wife, and then he's going to say it, Man City, he's not going to. Oh, it's been a mess.
I've seen some videos of him enjoying Oasis.
Uh-huh, yep.
Do you know who Oasis are?
I don't.
Oh, come on, Jack.
I saw videos of him at some concert. I'm going to guess
let's,
it was that.
Let's do some homework.
All right.
Let's put some homework in. Listen to Oasis.
Okay, I'll put it in. I saw him at that concert, so I'll have to take a look.
If Pep Guardiola likes it.
I'll have to like it then.
Yeah.
I got my Man City kit right there, actually. Fun fact.
Actually, I was expecting you to wear some sort of Man City thing.
It was that, but I was like, I have my 1966 World Cup jersey.
Yeah, so I like that. That's
I nice. Went with that, too.
Nice touch. Nice touch.
But, you know, you're lucky. Maybe I'll save the Man City for another time. I got plenty of those.
Hmm.
All right, Woody, thanks for joining today. Guys, if you are interested in doing podcasting for yourself, your business, reach out to me, 217-801-2909. Once again, 217-801-2909, or email heartmgdigital.com, or not .com, sorry, at gmail.com. But we are excited. We got a lot of good things coming up here. The What I Pretend to Know podcast came out today. Make sure you give that a watch on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. This will be out next Wednesday. Well, I guess you guys will be watching it, so it's already out. But we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We got more coming every Wednesday now at 5 a.m., and we're excited for the future. Woody, thank you for joining, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, Jack.
Awesome.